This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. This is
the Deen Show. Welcome to the Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. It's Eddie. And usually I'm doing the interviewing. We got Mark Shipper here. How are you doing, Mark?
Good, sir. How about yourself?
Good, thank God. You're with DNA Info?
Correct.
Mark's going to be interviewing me today. And I thought we'd let you guys in on the action. How's it going, Mark?
Going very well. Tired after a training session.
Yeah. I'll let you go ahead and do your job.
Sure. Absolutely. Let's start with a basic one up top. When and why did you start the Deen Show, and what is its purpose as a show, as you see it?
The Deen Show, we started back in 2006. And the primary purpose was, when I started to live this way of life, Islam, I started to see that it was bringing contentment, peace, satisfaction in my life. Gave me discipline, gave me a good set of rules to live by, helped me to be a better human being all around. I started to see certain things on the media that were antithesis to what I was learning. I started seeing this beautiful way of life that's lived by over 1.67 billion people in the world being associated with terrorism and some of the ugly things out there. So I thought, okay, I'm an American, I love my country, people need to get educated. And I thought the media was a great way. I was learning this way of life and I loved sharing it. And I thought, the more I can educate people that have a totally different perspective, we can break somebody's walls and we can foster and nurture goodness instead of a lot of this hate that's arising from misinformation and people just not knowing.
Yeah. So that brings up another question. You've been very successful using social media, YouTube, other types of video media, some print media, I think, on the internet. So what are some of your numbers? Like, what are your Twitter numbers, YouTube numbers? What kind of followers, what kind of viewings do you get for a show?
I mean, thank God we started off just putting our content on what was available at that time. I think YouTube was kind of new. We started putting it out there. Then we got involved with the local cable station here in Chicago, CAN TV. And then from there, I kind of got on board late with some of the Facebook, Twitter, started utilizing this. Yeah. And we also have people who have reached out and wanted to broadcast our shows on many of the satellite channels. So we're on several satellite channels that have potential viewership in the millions. So we have a good amount of following on the satellite TV, and also we have a couple million on our Facebook and in the hundreds of thousands on the other.
Big numbers. So a lot of people are watching, listening. What do you see in popular culture, news media now? Recently the misconstrues or misrepresents Islam.
What we're seeing a lot is the almost like advertisement out there and fear-mongering that is creating a rift between the people. And today, we see such groups out there that are being given a platform that don't represent Islam, that don't represent Muslims.
Give some specific examples. Who are you talking about?
Daesh. Have you heard of this group called Daesh?
ISIL.
Some people call them ISIL, ISIS.
Yep.
Now, Abdul Karim Jabbar, he had a wonderful quote. You know, six-time world NBA champion. Everybody knows Abdul Karim Jabbar. He's also a Muslim. And I love, on my show, you see I define words. Because people think, okay, Muslim, Arab, somebody, maybe an alien or something. But no, a Muslim is simply one who has chosen consciously to submit to the Creator. To have a direct dial-up connection with the one who created creation, God Almighty. This is something that Jesus did, Moses, and all the messengers of God. So this is what a Muslim is. And Abdul Karim Jabbar, he also accepted Islam, and he makes this quote saying that when KKK Christians, when they go and burn or have burned crosses in black people's yards, Christians don't have to come out condemning them because most people are intelligent enough to know that they don't represent mainstream Christianity. The same way, if you look at, for instance, there are over 1.7 billion Muslims all around the whole world, from everywhere, Italy, Germany, France, all over. And you see that CIA reports have estimated between 21,000 to 35,000 people people who have joined this group, ISIL. Yeah. Now, if we go with the high number, let's say 35,000, you'll see that compare 1.6, let's say 1.7 billion Muslims, what does that equal to the amount that's in this group? 0.019%.
Right, tiny fraction.
Now, let's take 1920s, when KKK were at their pinnacle prime. They had 5 million members. Can you believe it? 5 million members out of a population of around 106 million in the 1920s. Today, you still have functioning branches. You can go online and you can pick which one you want to join because they're all over the place. Now, KKK is like the white ISIS, all right? This is the same thing. And most people are intelligent enough to know they don't represent Christians. The same way this group, who, by the way, Mark, people don't know that they are killing, actually, Muslims are the ones who hate this group the most.
Yeah.
Not only are they defaming Islam, they are also killing more Muslims. And you don't get to see, just recently you had in Beirut, you had in Istanbul, Turkey, you had innocent people, Muslims who are killed. We don't have press coverage for that. You follow me? But as soon as some deranged lunatic does something and, you know, has anything, he ate with a Muslim, you know, he had a dog that had a pet name, Muslim name, whatever the case, anything linked with Islam, there you go. 24 press media press coverage, unbiased reporting. You see that this is something that is really disheartening, you know, to peaceful people who are out there who just want to live like everyone else, you know, and live with their neighbors and be understood in the correct way. But then you have media twisting it, and we're obviously made to look like suspect now.
Yeah, yeah. So this is right down that same line. As a Muslim, do you feel it's an obligation for yourself and other Muslims to counter the narrative? Is it the responsibility of outsiders to educate themselves? Or ideally, would you like to see a combination of both? Muslims out there countering the narrative and people also educating themselves who might not be Muslim to figure out what the truth is, despite what the popular, you know, narratives might be.
As Muslims, those who live this way of life, we're told to share this message, to help eradicate any kind of false fears that anyone has through educating people. And it's everyone's individual duty to go ahead and try to dispel many of these myths that are associated with Islam. But at the same time, you know, you will often hear, you know, these cliches that are thrown out there, that why don't Muslims condemn terrorism? You follow me?
Yes.
So every time, let's say, someone will go and blow up a abortion clinic, or commit a mass shooting, or these KKK neo-Nazis who do horrendous acts, and their religion is not mentioned. Recently you had what was called Hiroshima on a light switch. Many people didn't hear of a gentleman by the name of Crawford. He developed a weapon of mass destruction, and he was a Christian.
Members of their church started coming here to pray for them. They were unaware of the details that surrounded their arrest and unaware that Crawford was a self-proclaimed member of the Ku Klux Klan. He's also accused of carrying an animosity toward Muslims and targeting them in this attack. Members of the Barkersville Christian Church say they are shocked by this and think it's all a mistake, adding the Crawfords are nice, giving people who aren't the type that would be involved in a terrorist group. There obviously is many more details.
And we didn't expect his whole church to come out. They were actually saying good things about him, saying we didn't expect this, he's a good family man, whatnot. But he was planning to kill President Obama. He was planning to decimate and kill Muslims.
The murderer's plan allegedly called for attaching an industrial-grade X-ray machine to a specially designed triggering device stored in a truck. The weapon would be mobile, shooting concentrated doses of radiation on unsuspected targets who would die within 2 weeks. Among the potential target sources say Muslims and President Obama.
With this contraption, that this stuff you can't make up. This was this stuff out of a sci-fi movie, that this X-ray mass weapon of mass destruction would go through a wall, penetrate, and 500 people 2 weeks later can just end up dying. You didn't hear much about this at all in the media. People don't know about it. Imagine if Muslims were doing this. This is something unheard of. So now we should as human beings, be making this human connection, getting to know our neighbors, and really not swallowing everything we're being fed by many politicians who are using fear for a certain agenda to divide. And these are the things that at the end, if we are intelligent enough to go to the source, go into. You had many of these rallies recently in Arizona and other places, people having derogatory t-shirts, saying really hurtful things, demeaning things. And then when they went into one particular man, Jason.
Ledger and his uncle say they've been invited back to the mosque for more discussions and they plan to go. This time, the t-shirt will stay at home.
I feel that me and a few people like my Uncle Paul and the Muslim people taking time to talk to each other, I feel that we changed the thoughts of some people and they changed the thoughts of me. Paul specifically said, I will never wear that shirt again. When I took a second to sit down and listen to them and actually enter their mosque and go in and watch some of their prayers, it was a beautiful thing, and they answered some of my questions that I had.
When he went into the mosque, he sat with Muslims. He had a totally different perspective.
Yeah.
Because he was educated, because he made the human connection.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, this is right down the same line. Maybe it's going deeper into what we're talking about right here. So you'll often hear people say, where are the Muslims out there shouting that, you know, we hate these murders and ISIL or Daesh, the governments in Syria, etc. Are Muslims doing this and not being heard? Or is it a case of a double standard where because Islam is not the native religion of the, quote, native religion of the United States, maybe it faces tougher scrutiny and judgment than another group might?
Thank God that the Dean Show, we're going on since 2006. That's over 10 years, 500 episodes. We have brought on many of the prominent speakers, scholars in America and around the world, and we have condemned such actions. You know, in the Quran, this is very clear. In chapter 5, verse 32, it states, God Almighty is stating that whoever kills one innocent being is as if you killed all of humanity. If saving one innocent being is as if you saved the world. So the texts are clear that hurting innocent people, non-combatants, this is something that is definitely not a part of the teachings of Islam. Now, we've also had scholars, big organizations such as CARE and other groups come out and condemn these things. But it's sad to say that we don't have the platform, nor many of these organizations such as the Dean Show and others are not being given the microphone to go ahead and let the masses hear our voices. Another thing is real beautiful when you hear, I just heard a President Bill Clinton, you know him? Everybody knows Bill, right? Bill Clinton was giving an account of what he portrayed as the majority of Muslims, how they are in the U.S., because there was a New York Daily article that was talking about a Yemeni Muslim who had been working at a convenience store and he got stuck up. Bill Clinton is narrating the story.
Looked at him and said, I've just had this job for a year and this is not my money and it's not yours. And he slapped at the gun hand of the person standing closest to him. That guy is more representative of most Muslims in America than what happened in San Bernardino.
It's interesting. We have this on our Facebook page. You can see it. And he said that a man came in at gunpoint to stick him up, said, give me the money. The Muslim opened up the drawer, took the money, he was about to give it. He said, you know what? I've just only had this job for a year. This is not your money, it's not my money, I'm not giving you the money. And he smacked the gun out of his hand. The gun actually went off, bullet hit the counter. The man realized, look, I'm in the middle of, you know, this is New York City, I better get out. He got away, he left off. The Muslim got the rest of the day off. His employer was very happy, went home, prayed, and thanked God. And then at the end, Bill Clinton said, you know what?
That guy is more representative of most Muslims in America.
This is the majority of Muslims here in America. Yeah. These are the people that basically saying that Americans need to know about. He gave another example of Kenya.
So the Muslims went around giving headscarves to the Christian women and otherwise trying to disguise them, and they risked their lives to save the Christian minority.
Where there was a group of Muslims and Christians riding on a bus. and a terrorist group came and was trying to separate the Muslims and the Christians. And what happened, the Muslims ended up disguising the women, putting hijabs on them, and risked their own lives to save the Christians.
Risk their lives to save the Christian minority.
So these stories, people don't hear about. These stories, the majority, we talked about ISIL, Daesh, 0.019% over here, and 24/7 coverage all day and night, that's all you hear. But now, all the good that Muslims are doing, you don't hear about these stories. It's nice to hear President Clinton, you know, share this.
Yeah. A couple good stories for him. All right, so bringing it back locally a little bit, how is life, in your opinion, from what you've seen and what you hear in Chicago for a Muslim? Because sometimes you'll hear these claims that life in America as a Muslim after 9/11 has been a form of hell, but that doesn't seem quite accurate. So has there been any specific threats against your community, been targeted for anything, or do you find that it's a more complicated situation? Sometimes it's very good, other times you might run into pockets of people who are more prejudiced. What is life like been in Chicago, in your opinion? Is it a big deal? Or
I think Chicago, like New York and some of these more urban cities, the big cities where you have a mixture of nationalities, religions, is not as bad as if you go outside some of these areas where people haven't really gotten out the box,
right?
Where you have many people who, if you don't look like them, talk like them, sway like them, have an accent like them or slang like them, it's not, you're not one of them. Yeah. And anything else, you're just, you're not in. And when you don't have access to the information, and someone also is not with you to make that human connection, you don't have a taxi driver that's a Muslim, possibly like you do in Chicago. Maybe you don't have, like here, most of the doctors are Muslim doctors, right? Engineers, scientists. So you're able to, professors, you're able to go to the university and your professor's a Muslim, and you get to make the human connection. You go to the doctor, it's a Muslim doctor, human connection, right? And there's that good in every human being, you follow me, that needs to be nurtured. And when it's nurtured through the right channels, then like Nelson Mandela had said, beautiful statement, he said that nobody is born hating, that people are taught this. So now you're in a rural area, you never met a Muslim, and now you hear some of these politicians spewing this hate, pumping you up, making it seem like the boogeyman's coming to get you, you follow me? That fosters it, you're taught that. So we need to teach them how to love. And that's what the Deen Show is about. And Muslims are the majority about trying to get the message out, really trying to be represented the right way to show that we are a community of peace. We have a greeting of peace. Peace be with you. We pray for peace. We want peace. We live a way of peace.
Yeah. Well said. All right, closing in here, just a couple more questions for you. So we spoke a little bit the other day, and you gave me some specific examples of outreach you've done in the community. What were some of those with your professor friends, your doctor friends? You go out and I think there were some outreach to gang members, some other just community open houses. What were a few of those things that you do?
Yeah, the Muslim community is very active in feeding the poor and setting up different. We have a free clinic. It's on the south side. It's called Iman. And they're doing some great work. These are doctors who come together, people who don't have insurance, they're not able to afford health care. They have free health care. They have pantries set up, feeding the poor. And this is what it's about, making the connection, helping the community. We do open houses. Recently, me and my good friend, Dr. Sabil, we were at a mosque in Bloomington, and we invited the mayor, came in for a short time. You had the police chief, the commander, a priest, and community members. And they got to hear what Islam was about. They got to ask questions. The human connection was made. At the end, nothing but good feedback. Everyone had a great time, ate some food. We got to interact.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, more people need to learn this. More people need to be educated. Because it's through that education, through the human connection, that's where a lot of this hate, false fear, and these misconceptions that are out there can decimate, can be eradicated, and we can start to understand each other as neighbors, because we have to understand that, you know, Muslims ain't going nowhere.
Right.
Christians ain't going nowhere.
Right.
We're here. We're living together, so we need to get to know each other, get to know our neighbors, and need to work together to live together in peace.
Yeah, so these are friends and neighbors scenarios. This is going out and realizing these people, Muslims, are not in any way others. They're Americans. They live next door to you.
Absolutely.
And they're...
People exactly like you are. So that's what these things are. All right, so last question here. We're at your Jiu-Jitsu Academy, so let's get one there. How do you think this academy fits into all of this in terms of the example it sets for how you live your life? Is it a great advertisement for how you live your life, maybe for Islam, maybe for the Red Zivic family, or do you like to keep it neutral here and just lead by an example? How does this all fit into your plan?
As soon as you come in to the academy, there's a statement on the wall that says, the best of you are those who have the best manners and character. So along with, when you go back and you look at some of the ancient samurai traditions, there was principles that were involved in martial arts. We've lost a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It was a controlling of one's ego, oneself. Mm-hmm. And to now, a lot of days, what happens, people learn and train martial arts, the ego becomes bigger, and they become destructive in the community.
Right?
Doing some, you see many of the UFC fighters, MMA fighters, this guy's beat up this girl, this guy's in jail for this, this guy's in cocaine, this guy's on this drug.
Yeah.
You see, when you learn and you have a good teacher, not just teaching you how to throw a punch, how to knock someone out, how to submit somebody, but at the same time helping to work on the heart, on the spirit, these things, nurturing that good inside, that they can have a reference point to look back to and to control that ego by getting this confidence that the martial arts teaches you. At the end, when you have a completeness to your martial art, not just I'm a tough guy and I can knock someone out, but at the same time, my manners are better, my character is better, my self-confidence is better. I'm a better human being all in every aspect. I now am confident that if someone tries to, because it's self-defense, defending oneself, I'm not, and we stress this, that now if anybody's caught doing anything disruptive in the community or out there, you know, using this in the wrong way, they're not part of this. They'll be expelled from this team. We stress that this is something that, at the end, it's supposed to empower you, but at the same time, you have a responsibility. Yeah. At the same time now, you carry this with you, but you have a great responsibility. So we try to cover every aspect that now will help to make a complete martial artist. You follow me? Not just one or two, but every aspect, as was done in Karate Kid. Have you seen Karate Kid?
Yeah. He's the best around.
Yeah.
Yeah, great movie. All right, let's close down with what does the Deen show, the Deen means something specifically, doesn't that? What does the Deen show mean?
Absolutely. The Deen is a word that means the way.
D-E-E-N,
yes. Some people say, oh, what's up, Mr. Deen? No, it's, Deen is a way of life.
Okay.
And again, you know, there, in the essence of education, look, we try to make the information known who Muslims are and what Muslims believe. It's not our job to try to convert anybody. You know, a lot of times when we bring up religion, most people, it's a personal subject. But here at the Deen Show, it's something that now there's all this mass hysteria about Islam. We want to show that Islam is an open book. Yeah. This is what it teaches. It's for everybody. If you like it, you can have it also. If not, at least you understand it now. So Deen is a way of life, a way of life we say that was lived by all the messengers that the Creator sent to guide humanity. Out of His love, He sent Jesus. And many people don't know this, that you cannot be a Muslim, one who is submitted to the will of the Creator, not the creation, unless you love and revere Jesus as one of the mightiest messengers of God. Again, commonalities. We have so. Imagine you're hanging out with somebody, and now you're like, you like baseball? Me too. You like jiu-jitsu? Me too. You like Italian? Me too. You got all these, you got about 100 things in common, but you got a couple things that you don't agree on. You can politely agree to disagree on these things, right? Because the small things that, or actually the things that we don't agree upon is that Jesus was God, that He called people to worship Him, but we love Jesus as a messenger of God. And this is something that we make clear. We believe in original goodness, not original sin. So those are the things that are the differences. But now, there's so many commonalities that we love His Blessed Mother. There's a whole chapter named after the Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, in the Quran. There was just recently a Professor Hawkins who is having her position, I believe, terminated because she stood in solidarity with Muslims. She's a Christian professor, and she wore what you see on Mary, Jesus' mother, and what's called the hijab. It's just a modest dress that she put on that's actually, if you look at it, it's part of the teachings of Christianity. It's in the Bible. So now we point out these similarities in this way of life,
yeah.
Right? That we're not the Antichrist, that we love Christ, that we worship the same God. We have a different way. We believe in pure monotheism, that we don't worship anything in creation but only the Creator of creation. That's it. That's it. Done. And you have a right to your way. We have a right to our way. But at the end, let's try to understand each other. And by understanding each other, that's how we can live in peace.
Well said. Hopefully we reached some understanding today. It was enlightening. I'm out of questions, so thanks for having me on, and thanks for talking for DNA Info.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate it, sir.
God bless you. Thank you. And I thought I'd let you guys in on this interview. I'm usually interviewing people, but Mark had wanted to interview me, so I thought my viewers out there on the Dean Show get the benefit. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for more exciting episodes of the Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Peace be with you.